All right, I'm just exploring around randomly east of the Shimen neighborhood where my Airbnb is. Basically just kept going east, found a cool park, kept going east. There's two movie theaters right by my Airbnb, and I went far enough to find another movie theater. So I guess that's an idea of how far I walked. Not crazy long, but long enough for a new movie theater. And far enough that there are like mountains that are popping up that I'm curious about, but it was getting dark fast. So it's like, all right, no mountains tonight. I can't even see them on the horizon if I am close enough. But I saw Lingiang Night Market, Lingiang. And I was like, hey, it's night. I'm near there. I'll just go there. So I guess that's where I am now. Seems all right. You know, it's a street. Got a bunch of businesses on it. It's raining a little bit. It's like that weird thing where I can't tell if the rain is helping to cool things down or if it's making the humidity worse. Maybe both somehow. But yeah, if it does start raining, it looks like the red line on the train just goes, right back to where I came from. So I might just do that. But as I was walking around, I saw that the brown line, it's an above ground train. And it goes a few more stops from here and just kind of stops at the foot of a mountain. So I was thinking, oh, cool, maybe that's a plan. You know, I just need a plan. Doesn't need to be much of a plan. I just need something. Oh, here we go, and I'm at the official night market. All right, I see. So this splits off from the main street. Question is, do I go left or do I go right? Right seems busier. I'm gonna go right. But yeah, it just feels good to have a plan, because I, as I'm sure I said last episode, I'm just feeling a little bit adrift because I've been walking around the Shimen neighborhood specifically a whole bunch. And then my next Airbnb is farther north, like in a distinctly different part of town. So I'm not quite sure what to do in these last few days where I'm still in this part of town, in the like central part, I believe. I mean, I'm still trying to figure out geography of what anything actually is even. So just a little bit of a plan, just like, oh, if I take that train and just get to this base of a mountain, I don't know, and we'll just see what happens. Maybe nothing, maybe I'll just be trapped at the base of a mountain. Or maybe it'll lead to a whole fucking mountain adventure. Just feels good to have a plan. But I guess the main reason why I didn't just wait till tomorrow to bring this up is because I just wanted to mention this one dumb little thing so I don't forget. Because I've never seen this in my life. Is as I was walking toward here, a guy walked by me who had a bottle of water balanced perfectly on his head. Like a pretty big bottle of water. It was like 750 milliliters probably. So it was standing up on his head, mostly full of water. And yeah, he was walking at a good clip and it was just perfectly balanced on his head. It reminded me, I don't know if it's even a thing that still happens or was ever really a thing, but that cliche of going to beauty school and how they teach you to walk on the runway, and part of that is to balance a book on your head and just to walk with this, I guess, perfectly smooth cadence so that the book doesn't fall off your head. So this was like that, except I think this would be harder because this thing was not a wide book. This was a tall water bottle. And this guy was, I don't know, I guess I would say confident. He was not worried that that water bottle was going to fall off his head. And yeah, you know, I admit it, I stopped and I turned and I watched him for a bit. I just watched him walk. And it's weird because, like, I don't know, trying to unravel why a person would do that, you know? I mean, obviously it's a skill. It's a balance skill. It's some kind of, I don't know, maybe it's good for your walking. Maybe it really, I don't know, makes you a smooth walker. But also, you got to imagine that there's a certain amount of, like, I don't know, just like showing off in a weird way, like a junior high school student might. Like, hey, I can do a thing. Look at my little trick I can do. Like, I don't know, it's weird. It is weird to just be walking around in public and being like, look what I can do. Huh? Pretty nice, right? look at this fucking bottle balanced on my head. Or maybe this is just the most self-actualized man in the world, and that thought never crossed his mind, and he's not trying to impress anybody. He just has a fully functional reason to want to balance a bottle of water on his head. But I've literally never seen someone do that in my entire life, and he fucking nailed it, man. I guess that'd be the worst thing. If you start doing that and then you fucking, the bottle falls off your head and you look like a dipshit, that would be the worst of all worlds. So I guess if you're gonna do it, you gotta be good at it. This guy was fucking good at it. Wow, this night market's really big. I'm still going, I'm still walking. Tons of little booths and stalls and claw machines. So many claw machines. The other thing I've been noticing, I guess it finally sunk in, it's kind of a neat thing, is that even though Wi-Fi is quite prevalent around here, it's not too tricky to find Wi-Fi, but I guess it is a bit unpredictable. And there are still telephone booths around. Quite a few of them here, actually. I'm trying to think, in South Korea, I'm drawing a bit of a blank. I don't really remember if I saw telephone booths or not. In Japan, though, definitely. They're very, very memorable. These green booths. And in Canada, man, they are rare. I used to literally phone home when I lived in Toronto with a calling card and a payphone before I finally taught my ma how to use a computer to speak to people. And it got tougher and tougher and tougher extremely rapidly to find a payphone. I haven't been back to Toronto since COVID. I got to assume that's probably the end of it. There's probably no more payphones there. But the payphones here, they do have a phone part. But they also have a little Wi-Fi label. As you can really tell, I'm out of the night market now. I'm just onto a street. But yeah, they also have a Wi-Fi thing. So it's like, yeah, that makes sense. Because if you're at the payphone, obviously you want to get in touch with someone. You're looking for communication. And there's a good chance that you probably have a smartphone, even if it's like mine and it's just not connected to anything. So I just think that's really cool. Like, why not? If you've got the telephone booth still around as part of the infrastructure, but they're really not relevant anymore, they're really not useful, then yeah, why not? Why not make them little Wi-Fi stations? I think that's really, really clever. That's good thinking. But all right, now that I got a plan, let's just fade out and fade back in as I try to enact this plan. But it ain't gonna happen tonight because it's dark as hell. Let's fade back in on a future day when it's daytime. All right, it's the next day. I'm heading to the subway. Just gonna go head to the end. Gonna go to the hospital stop on the Red Line, which is one past main station that has all the anime and video games. And then one beyond that is the big memorial for the former leader. See, I'm starting to piece together this neighborhood a little. I'm starting to know how things connect and stuff. But from that, I'm gonna go connect to the Brown Line and just go straight to the end. Because it's just an above ground train that goes to a mountain. I did a quick little search. It looks like maybe it leads to a zoo. So I have no idea. Maybe this won't work out. But there's other stuff near there. There's like some kind of big cemetery. I don't know, it's just mountainy shit. Sometimes you get to the edge of a mountain and you just can't go anywhere. You gotta be in just the right spot. So who knows what'll happen. But yeah, just random exploratory day. It feels like I got a lot of days left in this neighborhood, even though it's only, I guess, two more. The third day from now, I'm leaving. But yeah, that balance of should I stay or should I go? More and more and more. It's like, yeah, no, get the heck out of here, man. Last night when I was coming into this Airbnb, again, I think the only reason it was even a question is just because this neighborhood is so cool. It is so cool to just walk out the door and be in Shimen and just walk through it. And just, it's just fun. It's just party time. It's like a little carnival every day. Coming back home last night, it was super cool. Even now, there's just midday. It's a lot less busy, but it's still super cool. I do like this neighborhood, and when I'm not just right here, you know, I might not deliberately make the journey. So that explains, I guess, why I, you know, was like, oh, maybe I should stay at this Airbnb. Because the actual Airbnb, nah. Last night as I was coming in, I'm up on like the fourth floor. So I went up to the second, went up to the third, and I saw one of the cockroaches from hell. Which I've only seen cockroaches outside, and I haven't seen that many. But they are fucking enormous. Because like Jeju had a bunch, but they were different. They were like sea cockroaches, and they were little, and they were by the water, and they would just scatter away. Where these ones, man, yeah, it's like easily 5 times the size of like what a cockroach would look like in North America. It's like you're in dinosaur times. It's like cartoonishly big. It's like, how can this thing be that big? It's fucking crazy. And again, I'm not necessarily blaming the Airbnb. It's like, hey, whatever, man. I had to look it up. I'm not technically in the tropics. I'm in a subtropical area, although I think part of Taiwan down south does become tropical, but close enough. And in this climate, you just have giant cockroaches. It's just what happens. And it's just an old building, and it's just like, whatever, man. It's like, whatever. It seems natural enough that a cockroach would be in there. But, you know, the one cockroach you see is a signifier of who the fuck knows how many. And they're just so big. It's, like, scary how big they are. Like, you know, the classic cats versus mice. Like, if you have a rat problem or a mouse problem, doesn't hurt to have some cats around. And there is the house cat who lives in this house, and I was like, I wonder if that correlates here. I mean, this cockroach is not as big as a rat, and as I guess not even as big as a mouse generally, but I mean, I have seen mice before that were about the same size, if not smaller, you know? This cockroach is so big that it's comparable to a small mouse. So it makes me think, like, does that cat fight the cockroaches? Like, is that cockroach big enough to be something the cat would battle? I don't know, but it's just like, once you see it, you can't stop thinking about it. You know, that's one of the worst parts. Like, even like whenever I get stuck somewhere that has bed bugs or something, the reality of what's happening is not that bad. It's the thought of it that is mentally draining. And this is similar. Like, once you see the thing, then it's like your eyes are always looking for the next one. And there's this big opening under my door with light coming in from the hallway. And I just kept expecting to see the horrible shadow of a giant, monstrous cockroach from hell coming through. It's just uncomfortable. And then I was saying how, you know, this place is already weird on many levels. You can't book in until 9 o'clock. Weird rules about air conditioners and stuff. The other thing is that when I check out, I have to take pictures of this place to show that it's still in the same condition it was in when I left, you know, to show that I tidied it all up. And I mean, I always do that. I always leave my Airbnbs in like as good of condition as I can, you know, as prepped for the next person as possible. I'm gonna leave some garbage bags. I'm gonna leave some toilet tissue that I bought, some hand soap, just whatever. Just leave that all for the next person. Like, that's just kind of generally what I do, but I've never had somebody, you know, that this is a requirement of checking out, is that you take the pictures. Because this is, I realized in Japan that is part of the job. If you work flipping rooms, you know, you clean up the room for the Airbnb and you take a picture. I heard people in Japan doing that. It's like, oh, I see. Yeah, they're taking a picture just to show whoever runs the Airbnb, like, I did my job, I cleaned up the place. Or if there's a debate with a patron or something, I guess just to have a paper trail, just to have proof, like, nah, this thing was good, we cleaned it all up. But why am I doing that? Why is that my job? Fucking weird, man. Yeah, the more I think about it, the more evidence there is that I don't have any particular reason to stay there. It's just the neighborhood, the actual place itself. Not really anything. Man, though, I was just thinking about rose-colored glasses stuff, you know, how even stuff in the recent past, how when I think back to it, it's always like, ah, remember that? But today, while I was taking a shower, I was thinking back to when I got to Seoul. Like, when I'd been in Seoul for a bit, and I was starting to explore. I hadn't gotten to Bukhansan yet, but I'd found some smaller local mountains and some, you know, I'd be out in the outskirt neighborhoods and walking along like a cool little river and going up some mountains, some medium, small to medium mountains. And I was just visualizing that image in my mind of like, oh yeah, you remember all those like super crowded residential neighborhoods with buildings piled up on buildings, but next to this river, but then also just the gray sky, the constant gray sky, the pollution everywhere, me having to wear a mask every day. And I thought like, yeah, even though it's a weirdly interesting visual image to think back to that, it was a very unique visual. Would I want to be back there? Would I want to go back to that place? And the answer was no. No. It's so like similarly to just having insects on your mind and cockroaches. Like that's sort of what the pollution was like. It just gets in your mind. It causes psychological damage, you know. I probably said this at the time, but it's like poison damage in a video game. It's like coming at you sideways. It's a different type of affliction on a different axis. And it just makes everything so uncomfortable. Just like, whoa. But that was obviously the early days in South Korea. All the later stuff, I have much fonder memories of. And I was thinking back to a cafe la. That thought came back to me, or that taste of like, oh, I do miss that coffee. That was my favorite coffee in South Korea. A cafe la brand, convenience store lattes. But I found a coffee that it's not the same. It didn't hit me the same way of like, oh, I love that. But I do kind of like it. It's the front runner just because I have no other front runner. It's good enough that it's at least a target, you know? It's something to look for in the convenience store and something that when I see it, I'm like, oh, nice, there's that. It's called Bernachon Coffee. Bernachon. So it has Chinese characters on the bottle, of course, but it also has this weird European flair that kind of reminds me of Castlevania, like Symphony of the Night. The Bernachon emblem, the logo, looks like an ancient medieval family crest. And whatever words are in English are this cool font that, yeah, like it's like Castlevania font. But it's weird because like the F and the S are so similar that I think they're basically the same. Yeah, just the F and the S, the only difference is that the S doesn't have a little bar in the middle. So it basically looks like an F. Anyway, this thing, this fucking coffee, which is pretty tasty. There's a bunch of different kinds, but the dark blue bottle is my favorite. It says, I get used to roam by myself and freely enjoy another world with my favorite coffee. So obviously the English is not quite right, but what it's meaning to say is, I'm used to roaming by myself and freely enjoy another world with my favorite coffee. Actually, I still don't quite know what that means. I don't know. But I mean, it seems appropriate, right? I am roaming by myself and I am freely enjoying another world with my by default favorite coffee. I don't know, it's just kind of cool. But these come in a plastic bottle. They're like 35 won, so it's like, you know, $1.20 or something. Maybe closer to $1.50. But they do have some of this Bernachon brand that come in glass, little glass bottles. And like they're very small little bottles, you know, it's like 250 milliliters probably. And I never bought the glass one because I don't know, it just seems so weird. So unnecessarily fancy, a little glass bottle for this teeny little sip of coffee that'll be gone in 2 seconds. But I guess now that I've nailed down that I actually like this brand, Bernachon. I get used to roam by myself and freely enjoy another world with my favorite coffee. Like, it's just so weird and cool looking that I'm gonna have to buy. I'm gonna have to buy the glass one at some point just to try it out. Shit, The gentle strumming of a park performer. Oh yeah, this is the park with the hospital subway. Perfect. A little bit overcast. I think it might even have just started raining on me. I still have not, like, I just don't have anywhere to squeeze my umbrella. I'm not bringing my weather-resistant jacket like I did when I walked around Jeju, because walking around Jeju, I just needed to be prepared for all things. Here, it's like, hey, whatever. If the weather gets bad or it starts raining or something terrible happens, I'll just get on a fucking train or a bus or something. But I am tempted in fate. You know, I'm gonna get fucked at some point. But yeah, the other thing, I guess, that is cool, too, about being in this neighborhood. So when I was coming back last night, I saw some people doing a photo shoot, and that was kind of cool, because they really were, like, set up well. They were across the street at the edge of Shimen, where there's, like, a big multi-lane road that is, like, we're distinctly at the end of the entertainment part. But across the street from there is, like, LCD screens and, you know, lit-up billboards and the cool, like, all right, this is Anime Town, it looks super awesome. So this photo crew was across from there. Oh, what is this? This is like a water monument, but you can walk out into the water. Cool. Yeah, they were across from there. Whoa, oh, it's like a well in the middle. Nice, so yeah, that's water from this little park pond is pouring down into a well in the middle. That's sweet. So they were across the street and they were at one of these little areas where, pretty rare around here, everything's pretty square around here in general, but they were at a point where it was like a triangle, like the Flatiron building. So they were all just set up at this triangle, so it was like a good place to be because there wasn't a lot of pedestrian traffic. It was actually kind of weird that I happened to pass by and I had to sort of skirt away around them. But yeah, they were at a point where there wasn't too many pedestrians, and if you use your wide-angle lens, you know, you get that shot across the street of all the cool billboards and stuff. And yeah, it was just some model lady in her flowing dress doing modeling stuff. And it kind of made me think, like, man, modeling, it must be such a weird job. Because when you see it happening in real time, it's not very glamorous. Like, it's definitely a job. And it's also probably not, you know, I really doubt that lady felt like, oh, I'm so pretty, I'm so gorgeous, everyone's paying attention to me, it's going to be these pictures. It really felt more like, oh, I hope these pictures are good, I hope I'm giving everybody what they need, I hope these turn out right, this is awkward, this is uncomfortable, I just gotta do my posing in fucking public, you know, I just gotta do it. Work is work, man. America's Next Top Model, season one, a classic. Elise Sewell, remember that shit? Yeah, it was kind of cool, just seeing the photo shoot happen, but yeah, just seeing, like, you got the one person, but there's like 8 or 9 other people with lights and cameras and stuff all, I don't know, it seems stressful. Didn't seem like a fun job. Like, even if I were a pretty lady, it's like, I don't know, I think you'd really have to convince me to do that shit, to be a model. Seems uncomfortable. And I guess I've watched other people too, like Taylor R is the one I watch the most. She's this Canadian YouTuber who used to do Japan videos, but now she lives in China. And she used to be a model, and just, yeah, how cutthroat it is and how mean everyone is to each other and just like that, the stress of it. And she had acne problems and just how super stressful that was, of just having to deal with breakouts and stuff when your face is your business. Like, yeah, I think I would prefer, like, yeah, it's I think it's it seems like a pretty, you know, I guess when I was a kid, I had that shallow take of like, ah, oh, it must be such an easy life if you're just a pretty person. You're just you're just a model. People just take pictures of you. But now that I'm an older man, now I can see the reality of like, nah, man, a job's a job. Work is work. That's probably stressful as fuck. All right, I'm at the subway, so I'm going to go get on this bad boy. All right, I made a little mistake, but it could be for the best. So where I was supposed to transfer to the Brown Line was Dan Station, D-A-A-N. But it turns out right before Dan Station is... Wow, this is fucking unreadable. Blue on black. Dan Park. So I saw the word Dan and I was like, all right, right on. That's where I get off. And it looks like the actual neighborhood. It's D-A apostrophe A-N. So I don't know how that's pronounced. We'll just call it Dan. But yeah, I didn't see any transfer to the Brown Line. And then I saw the little local map and it's like, there's a park. I was like, none of this makes any goddamn sense. And then I realized, oh, I'm a stop early. So I was like, oh, well, that's fine. Get off at Dan Park. Walk through Dan Park. Walking through it right now is pretty nice. If it has a drink machine, I'll be over the moon, but it doesn't really matter. There'll be plenty of convenience stores. And why this is kind of handy is, like I was saying, the end of the Brown Line, it goes to a zoo and some kind of bird park and a bunch of gondolas. I have a feeling it's Touristville. It's like show up and pay for a ticket to some shit. Probably not just a wander up a mountain like I was, you know, kind of more in the market for. But I was just looking at nearby stuff, and there's this part that just based on Google Maps, it looks like a video game map. It's like, man, that's what I'm curious about. That's what I gotta see. There's this one road that if you go by Google road thickness, it's not the big thick highway one, but it's not the really thin little spidery skinny tiny street one. It's a mid-sized street, and it just goes by itself. It weaves back and forth through this green area, like through a park presumably, and it gets to a cemetery and another cemetery. And then Fudikang Public Cemetery is the big one. And then if you keep going, Fudikang Environmental Restoration Park. Futak Columbarium Wing of Garden Tree. So, cemetery stuff and some kind of weird cool park and possibly some kind of monument or something at the end. I don't know. I get the feeling that maybe it's going to be uphill because it is just this one road with nothing else connecting to it. I don't know, though. Anyway, the entrance, the beginning of this type of thing, is, you know, like a 40-minute walk or something from here. So let's go try that, because that just seems a lot neater. Once I saw it on the map, it's like, oh, well, now I need to know. I need to know what that is. That's so interesting. So I'll loop around the Linjiang Night Market that I was at yesterday. Yeah, it actually looks like the beginning of this on Chongde Street starts on the Brown Line at Luizangli Station, but that literally would have been one stop on the Brown Line. So no biggie to walk it, and now I'm walking through a nice park. It does not have drink machines, but I do have a bottle of water in my back pocket. That's one thing I just keep putting off. It's like, oh, I'll buy like an onigiri and some kind of little dessert thing and a couple of coffees. And then I eat all that stuff and I realize, like, why didn't I buy a bottle of water? What the hell am I doing? It's a fucking heat wave. It's August in Taiwan. So I bought the smallest bottle because it is a little tricky. I just don't have the pockets and the space. If I don't have room for an umbrella, I don't have anywhere to put all this stuff either. So I did just get the smallest little 15 won bottle of water because I can just put it in my back pocket. It's really not enough water. I'm going to need a bigger bottle of water, but just as an emergency, just to have water in my back pocket at all times, just to have some level of water. I really got to, even though there's convenience stores everywhere, I got to not take this shit for granted. You know, it's too dangerous. Too dangerous to not have water. This actually reminds me a lot of Montreal, just something about this park. There was a park I was at last night, too, that honestly, I don't know if it was the same park. It might have been, but some park around here. Parks in the Dan neighborhood. They just have a Montreal-type feeling, which is a good feeling. Feels very nice. Very flat, but very open. A lot of trees, but they're very interspersed. Obviously, a lot more palm trees here than in Montreal, since Montreal has a grand total of fucking zero. There is actually like a biodome in Montreal. But no outdoor palm trees. Anyway, it's very nice, very pretty. Very pretty little walk. Constant beeping in the distance. Of indeterminate origin, but that's just how it is in Taipei. All right, before leaving Dan Park, I hopped across the street to a 7-Eleven to grab a popsicle. And I found one of the fancy Bernichon coffees in the glass bottle. Hear that? There's two different glass bottle kinds, but I could only find one. They also had another variety that was taller and was in like a cylinder. So I don't know what the fuck that is. Yeah, I didn't catch the price of this, but just figuring back, counting back through my bill, I believe this was 45 and the normal one is 35. So this is the Golden Cup Specialty Coffee Premium from Bernichon. And it's got the same basic cool design, but it doesn't have the cool English words that speak of traveling alone and exploring another world with your favorite coffee. So that's actually kind of a bummer. I'm kind of here. I mean, the coffee's pretty good, but I'm kind of here for the cool flavor text, to be honest. That was an idea that I had actually years ago, was microfiction on products. Like, I thought it would be a cool thing. You could just write little teeny tiny two-sentence stories and put them on bags of chips and drinks and stuff. I don't know, I just thought it'd be cool. Forgot about that idea. But I guess Bernichon kind of did that with that one product. Anyway, let's see. Let's see if an extra, I mean, I guess that adds up. That's like an extra 40 cents for this thing. 45 cents, maybe. I always forget that I gotta multiply by 4, but then add a little bit. Add a little bit on top of that. Things are not actually especially cheap here in Taiwan. Though it's still funny, I mean, I see on YouTube all the time, so many Americans talking about how soft the yen is, and it's just so weird because it really lined up well with Canadian money. I didn't feel like I was getting some kind of amazing deal while I was in Japan. It's like, yeah, this is just basically the same as Canadian money. Lucky you, America. Lucky you. Nobody else is that rich, you fucks. Anyway, let's try this coffee. Oh yeah, I was gonna say, the reason I stayed nearby the park is there's a bunch of garbage cans and recycle bins here in the park, but that does seem to be kind of how it is in Taipei, is if you're in a neighborhood with garbage cans, there's tons. There's garbage cans everywhere. You'll never lack for a garbage can. Just from where I'm sitting, I can see a pair of garbage / recycles both ways. Oh, there's a third one. All super close. But once you get into a neighborhood without garbage cans, then who knows? And it's still very up in the air about convenience stores. It seems like, you know, maybe 25% of them, if even, have garbage cans. A lot of them do not, for some strange reason. So I just thought that's just more comfortable. Hang out in the park for a second, just so I can easily recycle this glass bottle. I don't have to carry it around with me. But all right, let's see. Wow, that's unexpected. It tastes worse. It's okay, but it definitely doesn't taste better. Premium, eh? Premium with the glass bottle. The aftertaste is kind of nice. It has kind of a nice bitter aftertaste. Yeah, no, there's like, I hesitate to use the term eggy, but that's just what comes to mind. It doesn't really taste like that, but that's just the image that comes to mind. I don't like that. Well, good enough. Don't have to worry about the glass bottle and the premium price. I like the plastic one better, but there's still the cylinder. I still have to test the cylinder at some point and see what that's all about. Anyway, there's the coffee update, and then I'll continue my adventure. All right, just stopped in a Family Mart. Got some jazzy Family Mart music. With this is the remix of also a guy on his phone. But I just thought I'd test out the drink in the cylinder. I don't even actually know. It might not be Barchanon brand. It looks similar though, but I don't see that specific name. And this is the same price. This is $35, just like the other plastic ones. Anyway, they had a latte, but I'm like, all right, well, latte, I know what that is. Then Mandheling, M-A-N-D-H-E-L-I-N-G. And I was like, maybe that's a type of tea, because there is a shit ton of tea in this country. So I was like, well, I already know what a latte is, so let's try this. So yeah, let's give it a go. Tastes kind of like it might be a mocha. Pretty good anyway. That's pretty tasty. I like that. Don't quite know what it is, but I like it. On the way here too, I'm on the street now that leads up to the cemetery, so it should just be straight on till morning. We'll see what happens. But I passed a Burger King, and I haven't seen a Burger King yet. But I remember in Seoul, walking around Seoul, kind of vaguely depressed, you know, everything was dirty and filthy and filled with pollution. And I remember the Burger King I went in, and you know, I always have it's very touch and go with my debit card, credit cards. So I remember trying it, just like, this might not work, but let's just give it a shot. And it worked. And I remember that led to me going to Burger King like 50 times at least while I was in South Korea. I went to Burger King, I don't know, was it 50 times? It might have been. I mean, a lot of times. And I got to admit, it made me feel a little better. Just like, Burger King, you know, fuck it. Instead of, I talked about it ad nauseum while I was there, but instead of striving to try new cultural experiences, I had the reverse feeling in South Korea, where I was striving not to, striving to go back to North American shit. But it's kind of given me a fondness for Burger King that I never had before. So I saw this Burger King, and I wasn't really hungry, but I just wanted to test out my card because it hasn't worked anywhere in this country, in Taiwan. So I just was like, it probably won't work anyway, and if it does work, I'll cram some Burger King in my face. But no, it did not work. I just cannot use my card at any of these self-checkout kiosks in Taiwan. But I wonder if part of it could be because there's some kind of additional layer. Like, I got receipts through my email for each of my Airbnbs that I've never gotten before, ever booking an Airbnb, that were like special government tax receipts that I just assume have nothing to do with me. I don't know, but I guess that's just something to do with business in Taiwan. And I noticed that too on this Burger King machine, is it asked me at the end, the final step was, what kind of receipt? Is this a business receipt? Is this a something else receipt? Or a something else receipt? And I was like, I don't fucking know. What the fuck are you talking about? You know, I just have no fucking idea what this is. But I wonder if that's part of the problem. I mean, maybe there's just some extra layer to government taxes or something. I don't know what the fuck it is that just doesn't play well with foreign cards. So it does, you know, again, whatever. It's just a cash life for me here. But that seems to confirm it. If even my precious Burger King doesn't work, nothing's gonna fucking work. But anyway, Family Mart break. Drink my Mandheling. My Mandheling tasty mystery drink. Oh, this is handy. There's some Wi-Fi here. So Mandheling coffee is from Indonesia. Sumatra Mandheling coffee, grown on the lofty volcanic slopes of Mount Lushur near the port of Padang in the Balak region of west central Sumatra. So it's like a kind of coffee, like, you know, Arabica or whatever, Robusta. So that's cool. That's cool to know. I'd never heard of that before. Well, this is pretty interesting. So yeah, I got to Chongde Street, Chongde Street. And I was walking along it, and things got rural incredibly fast. Like I think the size of this street on Google Maps is, I don't know if it's accurate. I think it should be one of the smaller, wispier streets, because it's a little narrow street with really no sidewalk. Definitely not a place a pedestrian should be. And yeah, it just really quickly turned into just the same feeling as being in the mountains in South Korea or being really rural in Japan. Just really rural houses and just little rundown, almost shacks. And just all of a sudden, which I haven't seen yet in Taiwan because I've always been very central in Taipei. So I was walking along, definitely starting to question, like, wait a second, what am I doing? You know, I've only gotten to like the start of this adventure. And it's made me realize I've been walking all afternoon, and it's super hot out. And luckily, it's still a bit overcast, so that's good to keep the heat from being insane. But I'm pretty wiped, and I'm like, where even is this supposed to lead to? I don't know. It eventually leads to a road, but it looks like it's an underground road. Like, I don't know how I'm supposed to get out of here once I get to the other side. I don't know. I was like, maybe this was all a bad idea. I'm a lot more wiped than I thought I was, but this is kind of cool. Then I found a side path up to a nice little walking path. So I'm like, ah, all right, this is at least kind of curated and has some trees and some hedges, and I'm not on the street anymore. And then behind me, I see Taipei 101 Observatory. I did see that last night just before I got on the subway at night. It's this big, tall building, obviously an observatory-type building. It looks a lot like the towers in Tears of the Kingdom. It looks a lot like that. And it's just kind of cool because even though I all of a sudden was like, man, things got so rural all of a sudden. But then right behind me, it's like, hey, but there's still the city and there's that big tower and stuff. So I'm in a cool little midway. I'm like heading into the wilds, it feels like, but there's the city right behind me, this big cool tower. And yeah, at least I got a little walkway now. Walking on the street, I was like, what am I doing here? Like, this looked neat on the map, but in person, it's like, dude, you're not supposed to be here. But here we go. There's this nice little walkway. Oh, butterflies fluttering around. Flowers everywhere. It's like, ah, here we go. Here we go. So I guess I'll just keep walking along this way for a while. Maybe I'll just get to the cool cemetery and come back, because I don't know what's on the other side. There's like mountains ahead of me. Not super tall, but tall enough. All covered in trees. I guess as long as I'm still on one of these nice curated walkways, I'll just see how far I can go and see what happens. But this is all quite mysterious. It's only 4:15, but that is one thing I've been finding kind of interesting, just the way time is set up here. It always gets dark so early. I mean, in the winter, it's you know, super early. It's dark by 5:00. But even in the summer, by like 7:30 or 8, it's pretty dark. The time zones, I was thinking maybe it's just set up because obviously fishing is huge in this part of the world. So maybe the time zones are just set up for fishing. So that it will be light at 4:30 in the morning. But yeah, it's surprising how quickly you can get caught in the dark at night, even in the summer. So we'll see. I'll just sally forth and just see what happens. This is very nice and very pretty. I guess as long as they keep me on a nice little walkway, I'll continue on. If things get confusing, then I will give up. Seems like a pretty good policy. Whoa. Apologies if you hear any distant clanging. I'm closer to this big construction site now. Man, this is cool and good and bad at the same time. Where I did walk up past a bunch of like shrines, you know, like actual pictures of people and little shrines set up, and there's a bunch of stuff, and it's very overgrown up here. It's clear not a lot of people come here. And things were all just in kind of disarray. Like, it definitely seems like there's not someone coming around to do upkeep on these shrines. But this little pathway I was on, it keeps going up. And in fact, I'm at some stairs now. So I wanted to record before I started going upstairs. Way up into these mountains. Just up, 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 up. These very well, the stairs are well maintained. They're like quite new looking. So all right, I guess I'm going up into the woods. But man, it got mega hot at the same time. Luckily, I've got about 500 milliliters left in this water I bought at Family Mart. But shit, I should have bought a bigger one. It got real hot all of a sudden. And instead of being down in the city like I've been most of the time, this is my first time being up at an elevation. I'm not super high up, but I'm up high enough to now like see all the way across Taipei. And I can see that it's quite hazy. I did check the AQI, the air quality index, was at about 60 today, which, you know, I've just recalibrated my notion of what's good and what's bad. I'm like, whatever, that's fine. That's as good as you can hope for around this part of the world. But I can definitely see it. It's pretty hazy out there. Because, yeah, I was reminded by the weather, checking the weather online, you know, above 50 is considered poor. Where, you know, to me now I'm like, hey, around 50, at least it's not 100, you know, at least it's not 75. But yeah, 60, yeah, it's pretty hazy. It's a little bad. But, you know, that's the phantom concern of poor air quality. My main concern, thank God I put on a bunch of suntan lotion today, because fucking shit, it got hot all of a sudden. And now I'm heading uphill, upstairs. But yeah, this is nice. This is very pretty. But yeah, apparently nobody fucking comes here. Even these stairs, which like I said, are quite new, but there's still plants growing up through them and stuff. And yeah, the shrine part I was at before, mega overgrown and just kind of generally disheveled. Kind of eerie feeling. So I guess we'll see if I even meet one other person today. That'll be the test. Because right now there's fucking nobody. This is cool though, to get to see out across the town. That Taipei Observatory, the 101 Observatory, definitely stands out. I don't see any other buildings from where I am that are that tall. There's some of these businessy buildings that are pretty tall, actually. They're quite tall. But yeah, weird, man. It is nice, but this is weird. This is a weird spot. Now I'm heading up. Wish me luck as the sun tries to fucking melt me. All right, I think I should call it a day for today's adventure, but this is a fucking very pretty view to finish things off with. So at the top of those stairs, there was some do not enter tape, you know, the caution police tape type stuff. But it was just a little bit, and it really wasn't clear if it was like for me to not go this way or for people coming from this side to not go that way. I have no idea, because I mean, like I said, those steps were quite new. Everything seemed fine. So I was like, I don't know. I'm just going to step over this and go a little further and see what happens. And up here is the cemetery proper. It's like in the side of the mountain, all these different levels. Tons and tons and tons and tons now of different cemetery plot, shrine stuff, just all built into the side of the mountain. And I did see one groundskeeper way down below me. And that's where it's just like, I think it's okay to be here. I think the one further on, it's even called a public cemetery, but... And there's a road going through here. There's a guy on a bicycle went by, and there's somebody on a scooter. But there's really nobody around. Almost nobody. Like that one groundskeeper that I lost track of. The one cyclist and one scooter. And then in the distance, there is more of a highway disappearing into the mountains. But yeah, from here I can just see mountains and mountains and mountains just disappearing into the distance, just getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and hazier and hazier and hazier. And then if I check Google Maps, again, this is quite a small country. I'm like a fifth of the way to the coast, you know? Like, yeah, I've been walking for a while, or I took a train for a chunk of it. But I walked this far on foot yesterday. And yeah, like, I feel like if I just walked straight on till morning, I mean, I feel like I could hit the coast not today, but like if you started in the morning, I think you'd get there. Like it, you know, basically that's what I'm trying to say is that there's these big mountains and I know that the only thing on the other side is the ocean. There's nothing over there. And yeah, it just goes on and on and on and it looks beautiful. And there's one little building way in the distance on one of those mountains. But yeah, all I see on Google Maps is there is an even bigger, more official cemetery if I go deeper in. But this one is already huge and pretty beautiful. There comes one more little scooter person passing by. But importantly, it's also, God, it's just so hot. The overcastedness went away. Now it's just direct sunlight beating down on me. And yeah, at this point, if I just turn around, I mean, that Taipei 101 tower is still right behind me. I can get back to a subway station in like, you know, 35 minutes or something. That's just the best plan, because yeah, I don't know where I'm going. I'm pretty sure it's just more of the same. All I see ahead of me is just mountainous forest. As far as the eye can see, with intermittent buildings dotted around, some of them pretty big, like apartment buildings, some of them very small. And yeah, I mean, this is good enough. This is beautiful. I got to see the edge of the cemetery. I got to see the beginning of it, and it's still enormous. Like, it's covering the whole horizon. Everything I can see is just mountain cemetery. So yeah, I think there's no particular need to sally on farther. And it's just not safe. Not only was did I pass some caution tape, which I'm going to start heading back toward right now, which is obviously just not a good plan in general, but this heat... God damn, this got real bad real fast. So yeah, I'd call that a pretty cool exploration. Kind of a neat little adventure. But yeah, whew, geez, you know, I was all excited about, hey, let's go check out the mountains. Now it's time to shift into mountain gear. But it's August. It's fucking August. I just don't know. I do not know if any of this is a good idea this time of year. I think even once I get to the new Airbnb and I'm closer to the national park, you know, I'll do some little tests, but I think they're going to be like this. Little tests. Just go to the edge of stuff. Hey, there's a little gecko. Hey, buddy. Go to the edge of things, kind of try to get a feel for stuff. Just take it in small bits. Maybe just assemble some information of like how can you approach the mountains and where are the paths? And then not go up them until September. Because what the hell? It is so fucking hot, man. It is so fucking hot. But yeah, this is still kind of a nice little beautiful place. But I am bailing out. I am turning around. Ah, I see. So here's why on my way back, I saw a sign here on this side. I didn't see it coming in. There's an all-purpose, like, permanent watch yourself, don't lean on the side of the railings, careful not to fall, but there is just a laminated paper sign they put up here from July 11th, today's August 8th, so from about a month ago, says, due to the instantaneous heavy rain in this area, there's a slump in the domain. In order to maintain safety, please do not enter. So that makes sense. This is much like those caution tape areas on Jeju. This was for rainy season. This was, yeah, I could see that because there's still a lot of steep mountain right behind me. So if there was like a mudslide, that would be bad. So that's good at least. I think it's perfectly okay that I passed over that because we're definitely out of the rainy season now. No worries there. I think it's just, yeah, this is just so untrafficked. Like there's just nobody up here. Everything's so overgrown. I guess there's just no reason to come to these cemeteries. So this caution tape got put up last month and it's just still here. But yeah, the new caution is, hey, by the way, you're the Wicked Witch of the West and you're gonna melt, bitch. You're gonna fucking melt. So yeah, good time to get the hell out of here. But it's still neat to add this to the mental index, you know, to learn a bit of the lay of the land. So the edges of Taipei, yeah, they totally are just mountains. Mountains all the way to the coast. Real pretty, probably really fun and cool to hike across, but a bit of a serious endeavor. You'd have to be pretty prepared. And there's just absolutely no reason to do that this time of year. Zero fucking reason. Hey there, Observation Tower, Taipei Tower. I know it's always hard to tell how far away a tower really is, but you don't look that far. You don't look that far. However, I'm going to make it my mission to drink this entire bottle of water as I head back to civilization. Because I am sweating like crazy. But alright, thank you for joining me on this adventure as I continue to sort of feel out Taipei. Try to learn what the heck's going on around here. Super beautiful mountains, that's for sure. Will I ever actually get to them? Who knows, man? Maybe no time soon. But alright, thank you for listening. I'll see you next time. Adios.